Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Makone Maja. Let's get into the news of today. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is polling from the big polling company Ipsos, which finds that 8 in 10 South Africans say that the country is headed in the wrong direction. What's interesting is if you look at a timeline, you find that about 80% of South Africans said the country was heading in the wrong direction up until the elections in 2024, when the GNU was formed, South Africans got a lot more optimistic. Up to 40% said the country was heading in the right direction. So, you know, doubled literally the number of South Africans who are feeling optimistic. However, after, what is it, more than a year now of the GNU, those numbers have sunk back down to where they were before the GNU was formed. Digging a little bit more into this, about 4 in 10 South Africans say they think that different political parties are working together very or fairly well in the GNU, and about 43% are handling inter-party issues adequately. I don't agree, but it's interesting that so many people still have that sort of generally optimistic view. About 40% say that the GNU has changed nothing in South Africa. About 40% say the GNU will fall apart shortly as the parties differ too much. 41% say the GNU is governing in the interests of all South Africans, and 36% of people say people like me are satisfied with how the GNU is performing. So GNU is now becoming less popular than it was. But Makone, what's your take on these numbers? You know, we're seeing, I think, that people are hungry for legitimate change, and the GNU has not brought it.
I have been very wary of criticizing the GNU before it had even hit its 1 year mark, because I just thought we were placing these unrealistic expectations on them that, you know, they would be able to turn the country around meaningfully in a year. And already the criticisms towards the GNU were emerging in December, right? Like the halfway mark essentially. And now we're heading towards, you know, a year since the GNU has been formed. And I think we should start to worry, because there's still no clear plan outside of the statements of intent that the parties entered into, which we understand was not even that collaborative. You know, I think the ANC wrote it down and then presented it to the DA. The DA added their contribution, and some of that was debated. And the rest of the parties were essentially acquiesced to sign or else, you know, sign or stay outside of the GNU. So what needed to happen is after that, these parties need to sit down and then start the work of planning for the year ahead. The first year, the second, the third, all the way up to the end of the term, the 5 year term of the newly formed government. We just haven't seen that. In fact, we know that the conflict resolution mechanism of the GNU hasn't met at all this year, despite many of the things they've had, these fights that have spilled over in public about, such as, for example, something very important like discussing US tariffs and how the country is going to plan for that. The Clearinghouse Committee hasn't been able to meet at all this year, including over some of those very important discussions that would have proven to be disastrous in their implications on the South African economy. So I think South Africans are getting a sense that the GNU is good on paper, because on paper you have all these parties who are supposed to collaborate, coordinate, represent very different constituencies in the country. So for the first time, you know, the government is not just reflective and representative of ANC supporters, but of everybody, you know, including people who are so opposed to the ANC itself. And that just has not translated into tangible results. So far, the GNU has been a nice to have. It's nice to have it on paper, but it lacks substance. It lacks true negotiation. It lacks true collaboration. It lacks true partnership between the parties. And so I fully empathize with these South Africans, and I'm one myself. I do think the country is going in the wrong direction. And to this, I would add the recently published Saatchi Business Confidence Index, which measures the level of business satisfaction in operating in South Africa. And it's 1 point down, like 1 percentage point down from the previous month. So in quarter three, quarter two, quarter, yes, quarter two of was it quarter one? Yeah, of 2025, it was at 40, and now it's at 39. So that means something like 3.9 of 10 companies in South Africa are satisfied with business operations, with the environment, operating environment in South Africa, meaning the majority, overwhelming majority, are not. And this, whilst we enter what I've termed one of the biggest race grifts eras of all time, is the reporting period of the Employment Equity Amendment Act, where companies have to present their employment equity plans for how they intend to transform. We know it's fake transformation, transform their workplaces, meaning race swapping and gender swapping, basically tokenism, just couched in these targets or quotas, to be more accurate, actually. So it's clear that government is determined to make the operating environment for businesses even more hostile, even more impossible. You know, they're being presented these impossible demands, and South Africans have constantly ranked jobs and unemployment as the one, number one thing government should prioritize. Those are not flowing. Unemployment has only gotten worse in terms of the most recent quarterly labor force. So it is no wonder, effectively, I'm saying it is no wonder that South Africans and business alike feel the country is going in the wrong direction. I think they are absolutely right to share those grievances.
I think it's that's very clear. But it is interesting that there's still actually quite a lot of people who are sort of actually quite positive about the GNU. And I think one of the issues is that as you say, there's no real collaboration or anything like that. People don't realize the extent to which, from the way I've heard it and what the reporting I've read and the things I've heard from people in the know, is that there really isn't anything like a coherent government. This isn't a coalition government. This is two hostile camps. You've got the big ANC ministries, there's all over here, and they all do their thing together. And then you've got the small group of DA ministries who do their thing together, and then you've got a couple of these other in-between parties who just sort of drift around. And it's almost like it really is two different parties controlling two different parts of the government in different ways. And every now and again, ministers will issue statements and things to kind of make it seem like they're collaborating. But if you notice, you'll find that ANC ministries tend to almost always cooperate with ANC ministries, and DA ministries are cooperating with DA ministries. I suspect these numbers are only going to get worse, at least in terms of performance of the GNU, how people feel about it. And this is exactly why I think we're sitting on this moment of political change, is because most of the Africans are just not happy with the direction we're going in.
That's true. And you'd think these parties would be, trying to present themselves positively to the public, because we're not so far away from the next elections, this time the local government elections. So, you're right. I think you're right that things are only going to get worse, because I am a big advocate for a GNU civics class for the GNU itself, so that they understand what's politically expected of these different parties. Not that they merge into one solid entity, that they still remain parties who are committed to their own memorandum, their own plans, their own agenda. Still that they work together, but not that they prop each other up where they don't agree. And I think that's been the expectation from the ANC of the other parties, which I think is what's really caused the rift and what's caused the ANC to feel disgruntled about the GNU, and even like at the ground level of the ANC. So I think that GNU civics class would have helped a lot, so that even going into the next elections, these parties know how to conduct themselves in competing amongst themselves, but still being in government together. But I also expect that things will get worse, because none of them look that good as they could right now. I think initially there was a sense of competition amongst the ministers, and that was good. It was challenging certain, well, at least according to media reports, it was challenging certain ANC factions to, improve up their game. And now there doesn't seem to be any more of that. So it's it's good for us people who can intellectualize about, the three arms of government and how they're now actually holding each other accountable. All those like effective people who care about institutions, that's good for us, but it still needs to be good enough to actually deliver on things like growth, on things like jobs, which I'm afraid it's not.
I think ultimately there is no version of the GNU, at least with these parties, that can work, just because there's just too much difference. There's just too much difference in the way the ANC and DA in particular should see the world. And at the same time, the GNU is sort of necessary to both stabilize both parties in a way. The ANC needs the DA's credibility, and the DA needs an opportunity to show that it can govern the country. So it is a very bizarre political alliance because, they need each other, and yet at the same time, they can't live with each other. It's the most toxic codependent relationship one can imagine.
Do you not think, Nick, that if the right leadership would make up for the political differences, or at least they would hobble on with those differences, but with a strong leader at the helm who is able to hear both sides and give concessions on either side? Because it just feels the president has withdrawn entirely
Yeah, look, could this be managed better? I take that point completely. I think it definitely could be managed better, and it could produce at least some small compromises around the edges. But at the end of the day, what is required, it would require one of the parties to embrace at least some ideas from the other party. Either the DA would have to take on board ANC policies, or the ANC would have to take on board some sort of DA policies. And until the parties are willing to make that compromise, which in my mind, the DA shouldn't. I think it would be bad if the DA made too many compromises with the ANC on those, because it wouldn't actually fix the country's problems. You're not going to get a GNU that does anything. So we've sort of, I think, just stuck here until the politics changes again, which I think is happening, as we've been talking about on the show for the past while. But picking up on that theme you mentioned of employment equity tokenism, all that sort of stuff, I'm sure anyone who reads the news or has been on social media in South Africa recently has seen the fury around the Stellenbosch municipality's HR manager. A video came out reporting to show this guy, Alexander Kannemeyer, I think is his name, allegedly saying a bunch of things about employment equity and so-called transformation. He's recorded in this video complaining about the lack of staff in the Stellenbosch municipality, which I think is a DA-controlled municipality, with the lack of internal staff being promoted, and complained about there being too much advantage given to white males. He says in the video, "I have a big concern that every time we appoint someone and come back and go to the highest court, it's always a white male. I believe that we are never going to get this organization right with that type of attitude. We are not going to transform. We're going to struggle for years and years. I have a problem with that because the message we're sending out, especially to internal staff, is that they don't have the capability and competency for that. I cannot support the fact that we always appoint the best scoring candidate and it's always the white male. I am saying we make life difficult for the person who came in. The person resigns and afterwards we get what we want." Now, understandably, this created a rather significant backlash. The Solidarity and the Freedom Front Plus very quickly condemned it. The DA put out a statement saying that this was not in accordance at all with their values, that they're investigating the matter to make sure that this video is authentic, and that they're going to be suspending and almost certainly firing the person in the video, the HR manager, if they find this all to be true. The mayor of Stellenbosch said, "I'm currently undertaking an investigation into this matter, and we will issue a further statement when it's completed. At face value, the video is a cause of significant concern, and we'll get to the heart of the matter and take appropriate action as warranted." The DA said, "In light of the video being circulated on social media, the remarks, if accurately reported in context, run directly contrary to the DA's values and principles. The comments in the recording have no place in a municipality under DA governance and should not have any place in government in South Africa." The ANC, of course, defended the comments, saying, "The ANC condemns with clarity and conviction any attempt to misrepresent Acting Director Kannemeyer's comments and the distortion of the essential matter of transformation." Makone, What's your take on all of this?
One of the things we're trying to do in our recent campaign aimed at fake transformation is to pull back the veil on what really characterizes the sort of transformation that's been in South Africa over the last 20 years. And it's veiled as redress. It's couched in language of social justice. You know, it's about people. This is how they sell it to us. You know, it's about uplifting people that were previously discriminated on, and this discrimination was on the basis of race. And so logically, it should be undone also on the basis of race. And every now and then you get videos like this, which actually reveal what the true agenda of this form of transformation is, in that it has nothing to do with actually upskilling people, equipping people with the right skills so that they're actually able to acquire employment on their own, to stand on themselves apart from government assistance, and that it really is about punishing one racial group and then present that as being just. I mean, I think a lot of us have been privy to these sort of discussions, and I'm glad that this video leaked, because I don't think it's our responsibility to protect these kind of people like Mr. Alexander Kannemeyer. And for so long, you know, we've been subject to this rhetoric in boardrooms, in classrooms, in lecture halls, and you know, you walk away feeling really aggrieved, but you're not able to do anything. Well, citizen journalism is on the rise. And I think more and more people should record and expose these people, because transformation runs on the lies of it being for achieving racial justice. It's simply not. And I found it quite chilling, the admission that, you know, this is what he says in the video, Mr. Kannemeyer says that he is worried that when people are scored for in reviewing part of the interview processes, that they do tests, and that the white man always emerges at the top of the list, and that mentality or attitude should not be encouraged. It is an assault on merit. They clearly despise people who are qualified, especially if they're white and especially if they're male. And that merit now must be forfeited in Stellenbosch municipality. It's insane. That sort of discussion attitude should not be accepted in our civil service. And then we look around while things are in decay, and we wonder why municipalities are in the shape that they're in. It's because people who are qualified are not welcomed. Life is made impossible for them, explicitly by the words of such Mr. Kannemeyer. So I'm very, very happy that people are growing some level of intolerance for this. I don't know, maybe this was done to him by somebody who had ulterior motives. I'm still glad that we actually get to see the true face of transformation, this fake transformation, and that it has nothing to do with genuine empowerment. It's just about getting your own friends and family, or people you deem of your kin by race, in those positions. But yeah, absolutely abhorrent and disgusting rhetoric. It has no place in South Africa.
Yeah, and unfortunately, while I think here the sort of the pressure and the politics worked, you know, this is I'm sure the DA and the Freedom From Plus and all the parties that have the you know that get lots of votes in that that municipality are gonna chuck this guy out very quickly if it's found to all be accurate and true and in context, which it's difficult to see unless this entire video is fake, which I don't think anyone has alleged that it is. I think the kind of worrying thing is that there are so many, you know, in there are other ANC municipalities across the country where I think this isn't even in a sense controversial. This is just kind of what almost everyone agrees on, and that's exactly the sort of thing you're talking about here. So the it is interesting though that this story has generated the kind of reaction that it has, and I think it's come just as the conversation is turning around on BEE. And that's why we're actually, you know, seeing action be taken, and push back against this kind of racial thinking, which, you know, may not have happened a few years ago, when the country's environment was very different. So, as unpleasant as the story is, I think it actually shows that the country might be turning around on this question in some good ways.
Yeah. I was just going to
All
say that
right.
think people, in a one of the ways in which people should try to think about this story is whether the trade-off, the transformation trade-off, has been worthwhile. Giving up well suitably qualified people for transformation. It's li in some instances, it's led to the loss of actual lives. Look no further than Royvol waste management system in Hammanskraal, where people literally died because of poor service delivery. This happens across municipalities and public hospitals. People are giving birth on the floor. Road accidents on our road because our roads are not in good condition. At this, the list is long. Pit latrines, children falling in pit latrines. It hasn't been a worthwhile exchange. Part of resetting and going back to basics is actually just putting in people who can do the job, because that actually is what's best for impoverished communities in our country. It's that they get the quality access
Right.
to quality services.
Telling
So
someone living in a shack who's, whose communal tap stopped working 3 years ago and is unemployed that, don't worry, someone who has the same skin color as you has gotten very rich from a government contract. It's like, thanks, I guess.
patronizing needs to stop. It's really belittling of people who are poor to say, it works in their best interests that some head of management in a municipality is a white guy instead of a black guy. It's not helpful at all, literally not. So I think we need to seriously consider what else is corruption and how that needs to be rooted out. And this is part of corruption.
Indeed. All right. I've elicited outrage from you, Makone, but in our pre-show discussion, you revealed that there would be even more outrage to follow in this last story we're going to talk about. And I must say, I'm completely with you on both counts, particularly this one. General Industries Workers Union of South Africa has called on dairy company Clover to resume negotiations, because Clover is retrenching 700 workers, or retrenched 700 workers back in 2021. And the union is demanding that they be reinstated. Clover was taken over by another consortium, and as part of their restructuring, they fired these 700 workers. GIWUSA Union's president issued the following demands to Clover regarding these reinstatements of these jobs, that there must be, quote, immediate and unconditional reinstatement of all workers dismissed during the Milko restructuring. They also have other demands, which, it's just a little thing. The nationalization of Clover under workers and community control to ensure its operations serves human need to afford to ensure affordable dairy products and nutrition, not private profit. The reopening of all five closed factories to resuscitate local economies, and a radical reduction of the working week with no loss of pay to create thousands of new jobs for unemployed youth in the townships and communities devastated by their closures. So, just some small demands. McCorney, your thoughts?
it is true that you've been winding me up this whole show, actually. And I could not believe that in a climate such as this, where we are overwhelmed with news of company closures and retrenchments. In fact, it was, I think, Business Tech that reported that between Glencore and ARMSA's closures, there's something like over 250,000 dependents' lives at stake, withdrawals of livelihoods from these dependents who benefit from the thousands of people who these companies together employed. That you will have a trade union come and make some of the most ridiculous Christmas wish list like demands of companies. The level of out of touchness, entitlement, childishness. And I was saying to you before the show that communists have a way with the English language. You have to commend them. They create all these barriers for us to be able to actually understand what they're really saying. But then their actions luckily give them away. They give their hand away because they use all these, their verbosity is always so grand, But it's moments like this where you see that we're actually operating with children. People who look at company closures and think it can wake up overnight, it must rise up overnight and then be handed to them on a silver platter. It's the sort of mentality we have fostered in this country, especially at the trade union level, and are saying that, Goodyear has announced it's leaving, Bridgestone, I think, also announced Stephen, but a little earlier, some 5 years earlier.
ArcelorMittal.
ArcelorMittal, you have HSBC selling its last stake in South Africa. I think that was in 2020. You have Société Générale, excuse my literal French for not pronouncing that correctly. They also said that they're leaving South Africa. There's a whole list we've prepared because it's one of our campaign efforts to get in touch with them and do exit questionnaires about which policies are making it impossible for you to remain in the country so that we can actually present those findings and see whether the government is willing to make the necessary reforms. Surprise, surprise, probably not. Still worthwhile asking why exactly are these companies leaving? It's in the week where we are receiving these news, trade unions are often protected and shielded from receiving the criticism that is due to them for how they have aided in the decline of operating in South Africa. And I would really appreciate a study done on how each and every one of these trade unions has contributed to just these companies exiting South Africa, departing from South Africa, and including their effect on small and medium-sized enterprises, because big business can usually carry, the cost that comes with operating in South Africa more. They obviously have a lot more money than small and medium-sized enterprises. They have a very sophisticated machine that can adapt to all these, regulations, all these hurdles that are placed before them in a way that small and medium-sized enterprises just cannot. They are crowded out when these deals are made between business, trade, big business, big labor, big government. But they need to get their due. They are the most anti, one of the most anti-worker groups in South Africa has in no doubt been trade unions, because they've seen to it that South Africa has less workers, less employed people. And that too counts as being anti-worker. It's not good enough that they create all these nice labor laws, protect the worker. They need to go a step further in creating that we have a bigger pool, a bigger talent pool of workers in South Africa, not less. So I was fuming, and I still am, because the childishness bewilders me.
Yeah, there's something very wrong, I think, with the South African far left that it's really gotten itself. I mean, this isn't a problem unique to the far left in South Africa, but I think it's particularly prevalent here, which is that the response of kind of these far left groups like this union here is when something goes wrong or when you're losing, you double down. You just double down over and over again. If BEE isn't working, you double down on it. If companies are cutting job losses, you threaten to take away all the companies. It's just and the results are fairly predictable. Which is that nobody gets anything that they want. The companies go bust or move overseas or whatever and don't make money here. The unions run out of members because there's no one employed. And the people who have the employees themselves run out because obviously they don't have employment anymore. So it's kind of incredible how this attitude creates quite literally a lose-lose-lose situation. I think it's asking too much, but it would be useful for someone out there on the far left who thinks maybe that we do need communism in South Africa at some point to at least think a bit strategically and go, maybe if we destroy the whole economy by demanding that we nationalize clover for firing some people, that maybe that's not very productive for anyone, whether they be unions, workers, or even companies. Anyway,
In the words of my
and
top
I'm.
school.
Yeah, I
Go
know
on.
I'm dreaming of things that are never going
Yes.
to happen.
Indeed. Trade unions are for trade unions. I think they just love making companies squirm and
No.
presenting them out to be, the savior, because this is going to be celebrated in leftist circles. This
But
attitude of holding a knife to clover and saying, open up or back up or else. But like you
well,
said,
it's also not much of a knife. It's like they're going to be like, oh, well, we'll just go then. Bye.
Exactly.
You know,
Oh, exactly.
it,
And
you
who
know,
suffers the
emotive performative
worst?
politics.
Yep, indeed. It is. It's a show. It is a show.
Anyway, some good fiery rants, which has caused us to go quite long. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope you found the show interesting. We will be back tomorrow with the live version of the show at 1:30. Cheers, everyone, and have a wonderful day.
Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.